Well, puzzle, that's what we're talking about. We're going to spend these few weeks together looking at this idea of there's these things in life that seem to leave us puzzled. Why is it that we go through that? Why is it that that happens? How is it that we can hear from God is what we're going to be talking about today. But we've looked at some things already. We've looked at how do we handle stress, you know, that we can be puzzled by all of the stress that we end up dealing with. And the pressures of life, it doesn't have to be synonymous with stress. That we don't have to go just because there's pressure that we have to be stressed out. In fact, one of the things we looked at when we talked about that a couple of weeks ago is we looked at this idea. We looked at, hey, if we will lower our expectations of what this world has to offer us and we increase our expectations of what heaven will be like, that will certainly help us because sometimes we're guilty of trying to get too much out of what this life has to offer and we're stressed out trying to make this life more than what this life was ever meant to be. And we have to understand that there is a hope that we've been created for, to have this relationship with the Heavenly Father and for us to spend all of eternity with Him. Last week we looked at this idea of forgiving others, that certainly can be one of those things that's puzzling. That Derek was here and he was speaking and teaching on that. And teaching that when it comes to forgiving others, that one of the things that we have to do is we have to ask God to help us. We need to ask for that healing of that hurt that's come our way. And when we get healed from that, it makes it so much easier for us to release the other person of the hurt that they brought our way. And when we release them, we also are releasing ourselves. It's a puzzling thing. But it truly happens. And as long as we hold something against them, we are holding ourselves back. So today we're going to talk about recognizing God's voice. And so for me to even say that means that there is this assumption. And the assumption is that God is speaking. So there's this assumption that God's speaking. And so if there's this assumption that God's speaking, how is it that we can recognize His voice? But I think even with that assumption, it's still a little puzzling. That if you're somebody who you are a believer, you are convinced of who Christ is, then you are somebody that you probably believe that God has spoken. That you don't have doubts that God has spoken. And because of that, you go, hey, it's not that far-fetched that he has spoken. Because we can read in our Bible some different accounts, some different occurrences of when God has spoken. We think about this guy named Moses. And here's a guy that he was just kind of minding his own business and he was doing his own thing. And he was up in the mountains and all of a sudden he sees this bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. He approaches it and God speaks to him audibly through this burning bush. And through that was God's call on his life to use him to set God's people free that had been captive and to be able to lead them into a land that was promised to them years and years and years before. We can look at our New Testament and we can see where Jesus, he was baptized, and after he was baptized, again, there was this audible voice of God. And the people that were present when Jesus was baptized, when he came up out of the water, they got to hear God speak, and God said, "This is my son whom I love and I am well pleased with." And it was this audible voice of God. That God is somebody that he certainly, he has spoken. When Jesus had risen from the dead and he had returned to heaven, there was this guy named Saul, and he was persecuting Christ followers. And Jesus spoke audibly to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" That there has been this audible voice of God. God has spoken. And so it's not that far-fetched if you're convinced of who God is. It's not that far-fetched to believe that God has spoken. But where we might wrestle with as believers is we might wrestle with, but is God still speaking today? And where we wrestle with it even more is God speaking to me. So yeah, we can go, hey, God has spoken, but is he speaking, and is he speaking to me? So that is what we need to look at and understand, because Jesus even had some things to say about God's voice, about his voice, and that voice being heard and being understood. And some of us, we might wonder, is God's voice this rolling thunder kind of voice, or is it this still, small voice that speaks to us? How is it that God speaks? So we're going to look at a few passages together this morning. We're going to start in John chapter 10. And in John 10, we're going to start in verse 3. Jesus, he's talking with his disciples, and he's trying to get them to understand that there is a voice of God, and there is a way that you get to know that voice, and that voice becomes a comforting voice and a voice that you would follow. And so we're going to pick this up, verse 3. And Jesus, he's making up this story for them, this parable, so they can understand these spiritual truths. And he says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. Him is the shepherd. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's what the shepherd does. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. He calls his sheep out by name, and they follow him. Verse 4, after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. And then he said, they won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. You know, familiarity is something that we rely on to know who it is that's speaking when we can't see them. You probably know what I'm talking about, that your phone rings and you've got caller ID, so you think you know who it is. And so you answer that phone, but instead of being the owner of the phone, it's a family member of that person. And they're talking away, and you're like trying to figure out, okay, well, now which one is this? And you're trying to figure out who is it that's actually talking right now, but you're clued in. You got a little bit of a clue. Another occasion might be that you can't see somebody, but they are talking. They're within earshot of you, and you can't see them, but you're going, I know that voice. And sometimes you know exactly who that is. Other times you're wrestling and you're trying to figure, okay, I think I know. And you're trying to remind yourself who that is. And see, it's familiarity. It's when you get familiar with, you spend enough time with them and you've seen them face to face that you begin to recognize their voice. And so it's one of these things. And Jesus was speaking about this. And so God is speaking. And we're going to look at some of the different ways that God speaks. But before we get to that, I want to identify why it is that we have such a hard time of hearing God speak. And when I say this, I just want to be really clear. I think that most of the time that God speaks, it's not in an audible way. That there are other mechanisms that God is using to speak to us today, more so than this audible voice of God. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I trust when we read in Scripture those people that have heard it, I trust that they have, but I certainly haven't. But there's been other ways that I know that God has spoken to me, and we're going to get to those in just a moment. But before we do, I think that we need to look at some WMDs. And what I'm talking about is those weapons of mass distraction. That there are these weapons of mass distraction that keeps us from hearing and or recognizing God's voice. In Luke chapter 10, a little bit later in chapter 10, we're going to look at this. We're going to see how Jesus went to somebody's home and he was interacting with them. And so Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, it says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. He wasn't just talking. He wasn't just speaking. She was listening to what he was actually teaching. He was teaching in this moment. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner that she was preparing. And she came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Sounds like a sibling, doesn't it? And when we look at this, I wonder how many of us have been given opportunity to hear from God, but we have missed it because we have been distracted. That we have been concerning ourselves with other things, and it's keeping us from hearing God speak. He speaks to us, but we're just not listening. You know, I think about Martha, and in her case, that she was more interested. She was more interested in hosting Jesus, right? That she was more interested in hosting him than she was in hearing from him. That she was more interested, hey, I just want to host you, and if you'll just come in here and you'll just listen to me, then I just want to host and do something for you. She was more interested in that than she was in hanging out with him. That when we look at Martha, that she was more interested in serving Jesus than she was sitting with Jesus. And we look at her case, and she was more interested in complaining to Jesus than having a conversation with Jesus. She was doing the big host thing and wanted to provide him a great meal. And she's working and slaving away. And she's looking over at her sister Mary. And she's jealous that she's hanging out with Jesus. And she's not helping do all of the work. And so she goes and she complains to Jesus because she was too distracted to make the better, wiser decision of spending time with Jesus. So let's look at how Jesus responded. It says, but the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. I'm sure he's pointing to the kitchen and all the things that she's doing, trying to set a table and trying to prepare the meal. You're worried and upset over all of these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. That was Jesus' long way of answering Martha's question of will you? And he was basically saying, no, I won't tell her to stop spending time with me and come and help you in the kitchen. Because she has chosen the better thing of spending time with me. So weapons of mass distraction. One of those weapons is busyness. That we just get busy. And sometimes we can be even guilty of being busy in things we're doing for God that keeps us from spending time with God and listening to God. Other times it has nothing to do with what we're doing for God. We just get busy with all of the concerns of this life and all of the opportunities of this life. And we get so busy that we get distracted from hearing from God. In Luke chapter 14, we'll start this in verse 15, but Jesus has just been talking to a group of people, and he's been sharing with them the importance of inviting people over and hosting them and offering them a meal. And he's telling them, don't be inviting the people that are going to in turn host you back and give you an opportunity for you to come to their place, because then your reward's going to be in full. He says, instead, invite those people that can't invite you back over and do something for them and host them and honor them, and then your heavenly Father will reward you for those things. And after he gets done sharing this, and he was talking about being at a banquet as well and not taking a seat of honor, after he finishes this, he says, we just see this in verse 15. It says, hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, what a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, heaven itself. What a blessing it'll be to be able to attend that kind of banquet. And so then we get to see Jesus replied with this story. And it's a made-up story, a parable, to teach, again, a spiritual truth. He says, a man prepared a great feast, and he sent out many invitations. And when the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. So he's going out and inviting all the guests to come. It's prepared. And we get to see, but they all began making excuses. One said, I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 pair of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me. And he says, that's what it's going to be like, that what God's doing, he's inviting people to come and they are so busy concerning themselves with earthly things that they are missing out on coming to a banquet that God has invited them to. And he's talking very specifically about heaven and people being invited, but they are so confused and distracted by the offerings of this world that they miss the greatest offering that is put out there, and that is to come and spend time with God. And busyness is a weapon of mass distraction that will keep us from even hearing from God. So there's another one, a weapon of mass distraction, and that is competing voices. That we have so many competing voices. Just try to imagine within a given week how many different voices you hear. How many different people are speaking into your life? People that you see face to face, you interact with, people on the phone, people on your social media, people on TV, people on radio. Think of all of the different voices. And there are competing voices. I even think about when you know you're going through something, you're having to make a decision, and you're trying to solicit the advice of others, so you just share what that is. And as you share that with others, you know what you get? You also get conflicting input, right? That you're hearing from people that you love and respect, but what the advice that they're giving you, it's in conflict with the other person's advice at times. And we have all of these competing voices. Who's the first voice that you hear in the morning when you get up? Is your alarm set to radio? Is that the first voice that you're hearing? Is it just a buzzer and it goes off and then you look and you start turning on your TV and listening to morning news, or you're listening to a favorite radio station? What is that very first voice? Is the first voice for you that you're going to go, hey, I just want to get into God's word and I want to hear from God, but let that be the very first thing that I hear from today? But what is that? When I think about these competing voices, I think of how Jesus continued on in this made-up parable in Luke 14, and look at verse 20. He said, another said, I just got married, so I can't come. I often wonder which gender was he thinking of who this was when they were saying, I can't come because I just got married, and so I need to go listen to my spouse and spend time with them instead of coming to be part of this incredible banquet that is being offered before me. But we have competing voices, and God is speaking to us. But some of us, we just can't hear him. We can't hear him because we're busy. Some of us can't hear him because of the competing voices. And then some of us, we can't hear him because we've lost our ability to hear from God. That we had it at one point, and now we have lost our ability to hear from God. I want to do something this morning with you guys, and I'm going to ask you guys to just stand up with me. We just kind of need to stretch because we're going to be here a really long time. It's a really long talk today. That's not why I'm going to ask you to stand. But I want to invite you to stand with me because we're going to do something. We're going to do an exercise here together, and this exercise isn't going to require any physical activity from you. But what it's going to be is I'm going to have our tech booth play a sound here in a moment. And they're going to play a sound, and many of you in this room, you're not going to hear that sound. But some of you are. And so if you hear this sound, I'm going to ask you to sit. And I don't want you to be somebody, if you don't hear it and you see somebody sitting down going, well, I don't want to be left out. I don't want you to sit. I want you to remain standing. And so you guys go ahead and play that sound. Okay. Yeah, so those of you guys that could hear that, I'm told it's a very annoying sound. Look around, and you can see different people that sat down. One thing you'll notice about them is they're probably younger than you. Go ahead and have a seat. They're probably younger than you, and where we get this is there was a group of business owners that had these teenagers that were loitering in front of the storefronts, and they were losing their adult customers. And so they hired this guy, Howard Stapleton. They hired him and said, we need you to figure out a way to get these non-paying teenagers out and to make sure that our paying adult customers will come in. And so he came up with something that he called mosquito teen repellent. And he called it this is because he used the frequency of what mosquitoes create, the sound they create when they fly. And it's this frequency at 17.4 kilohertz. And when you have young ears, you're able to hear this. But the older you get, you reach a point where you just can't hear it anymore, whether it's because of you've abused your ears, they're just getting older, they're losing their sensitivity, and you just can't hear it anymore. And so by doing that, they fled, because if you saw anybody, some of the people that were sitting down, they were covering it because it's an irritating sound. And so they didn't want to be around. But the adults that couldn't hear it, it didn't matter. It didn't matter that it was irritating to those younger. They just went in, they did all their shopping, and these business owners were able to get the clientele back. Well, just thinking about that, I do think that some of us end up losing our ability to hear from God. That we've just gotten in our faith, we've gotten too comfortable, we just gotten too settled, we just feel like, you know what, we just don't really need anything else, and we lose our even desire to be able to really hear from God and hear God speak to us. And if that's you, then maybe the best prayer that you could begin to start praying is to ask God to give you the ability to hear from Him again. Say, God, I just want to be able to hear from You. Maybe you're even hearing this and you're going, I don't know that I've ever really heard from God. Then I would say for you, the best prayer that you could be praying is to say, God, I don't think I've ever heard from You, but I want to hear from You. God, help me to hear from You and give me the desire to heed what it is that You tell me. But that we would be people that we would want and desire to hear from God, whether it's hearing for that first time or whether it is hearing again. Because see, I believe that God is speaking, and He's speaking through some different things. And so this morning I want to share with you a product that we've worked on and we've come up with that we've kind of we stole an idea from a company called Rosetta Stone, and we've come up with our own product called Recognition Stone. And it's about recognizing God's voice. And how is it that we could begin to recognize God's voice? Because I believe that He is speaking. He's still speaking today. And so we have to learn, how is He speaking, and what is it that He's saying, and what is He saying to me? Because I believe that some of you that feel like you've never been able to hear from God can walk out of here today with the ability to recognize God's voice, to begin to hear from Him and recognize that it's Him doing the speaking. So we're going to look at some of these. It says more inside. And so let's look at what is inside, because it's going to tell us some of the things about how we can hear from God. One of the ways that God speaks through is that He speaks through His Word. He speaks through His Word. He speaks through what we call the Bible. And in the book of Psalms, you have the psalmist that just keeps pouring their heart out to God and recognizing things about God. And in Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist writes, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." That's what God's word is, the Bible. It is this lamp that looks and it kind of guides our feet, that we can see right around us. And Your word is also a light shining on my path so that I can see where I need to go and see that it is clear to go that way. That's what God's word does. Earlier this week, I met somebody who's a believer. They believe in Jesus. They have faith in Him. They've trusted in Him. But they don't go to church anymore. They've given up on church. They've not given up on God, but they've given up on church. They don't read the Bible anymore. He's convinced that he knows the stories of the Bible, and so he doesn't need to be reading that Bible anymore. And so he's not doing anything to expose himself to God's Word. He's not reading any devotionals. He's not reading the Bible for himself. He's not participating in a small group environment where there's others that are trying to learn and grow in their faith journey. He's not listening to faith-based music that's singing truths from Scripture. He's not doing any of these things. But the one thing that he's doing is that he's praying. And he's praying. And he's even taught his boys to pray. That his boys haven't been in church, but he's taught them how to pray. And he goes, that's just where I'm at. I like praying to God. I love praying to God, and I depend on Him. And I just shared a thought with him that I was exposed to many, many years ago. And I shared it with him, and I was already prepared to share it with you guys. And that is that we need to hear from God way more than God needs to hear from us. And see, when we're praying, that's God hearing from us. Now, God wants to hear from us. So please don't hear me say, don't pray. He does want us to pray. But we need to hear from him far more than he needs to hear from us. That we need to know from him, what is it that we should be doing and how is it that we should be doing. We need to be hearing from him. And God, he speaks. He speaks through his word, the Bible. It is one of the ways that he speaks. When you look at these different biblical writings, that the writers of the Bible, that what they did is they said on more than 1,900 times inside of our Bible that they identified that God spoke to them, that God has said something. And they identified this over 1,900 times, and they've written it down what God has said. When you look in the first five books of our Bible, that almost 500 times in these first five books, you can read something along the lines of, I, the Lord, have spoken. That you can see this of what God is saying. He says, I have spoken, or it says, the Lord has spoken, and then they write what the Lord has said. You can see it another 1,200 times in the rest of our Bible, that yes, God has spoken. And he's spoken many times through the prophets. And in the Old Testament, we have over 30 identified prophets that God spoke to them, and then they spoke to the people for God. Because God is speaking. And I think that some of you have never really made a commitment or a concerted effort to get inside of God's word and read it for yourself. And I certainly commend you for coming to church, because that's one of the ways that you get to hear from God through God's word and see what God's word has to say. But there's more to it that you could be doing to be able to get more and more familiar with the voice of God and recognizing it, so that you can hear it and you can heed it. And so I would encourage you to find a way to get into God's word regularly, even daily. I want to share with you a tool. And that tool is just, it's simply YouVersion, Y-O-U version, YouVersion. And you should either write that down or pull out your phone and type that in, YouVersion. Because this is a way for you to be able to use your desktop, your laptop, use your mobile device, for you to be able to get access to the Bible, to God's word, and to get that digitally, electronically. It's a way for you to get that. And not only is it just the word of God, but there's also devotional plans that you can do. If you go to your app store, your Play Store, and you download this, now you can get this on your phone. You don't have to have any kind of connectivity once you've downloaded and have that Bible on there. And there's so many different translations that you can be looking at and you can be reading. I prefer the New Living Translation. You might prefer a different one. I just like it because it's simple, it's easy to read, and it's an accurate translation that uses the oldest known manuscripts to translate God's word. And so it's a great tool for you to get a Bible and download that Bible and have it, but also to be able to sign up for some reading plans. That there's ways for you to look for a 3-day reading plan, or a 4-day, 5-day, a 7-day, a 1-month long. You can do a year long. You can do these different reading plans of how can I read the Bible through in a year? And you can do that chronologically. You can do it just in the order it is. You can do devotionals, and you can learn more about prayer. You type whatever it is that you're going, this is something I'm interested in. Maybe you're going, I'm dealing with depression, and I want to know, how can I overcome depression? You can type in depression and see the several different reading plans that are there. You could be looking for, I want to know what God's will is for my life. And you could type in God's will, and you're going to get several different reading plan options. And they're going to give you, hey, here's a way for you to do this. And there's going to be specific scriptures for you to read. And there's even going to be some devotional thoughts. But it is a way for you to get God's word and where you're beginning to use it. Maybe that's a little too intense for some of you. You can use YouVersion, and you can sign up for a daily verse. And it'll take you less than 40 seconds to open that email and see that verse and read that verse and just allow that verse to speak into your life. You could take the book of Proverbs in our Old Testament, and you could take that and say, I'm going to read a Proverbs a day, a chapter a day. And that's something I'm going to do. And one of the pieces of advice I heard many years ago was, whatever day of the month it is, read that chapter. And just take and just read that. There's so much wisdom and teaching that's taking place there. But God speaks through his word. He hasn't just spoken through it. He is still speaking through his word. And so let's look at his word. Well, what are other ways that God is speaking? Well, God is speaking through others. That he speaks through others, that when God speaks through others, this is what is really fascinating to me. That God doesn't just speak through people that are just super devout to him. That God speaks through others and all kinds of others. God will speak through others that they don't even believe in who he is, but he's going to use them and he's going to speak through them and speak to other people. They might not even know it and recognize that God's using them and speaking through them, but he certainly speaks through others. When we look at all of the prophets that existed, we see that that's certainly what God was doing, that he was speaking through others. In fact, let's look at one of these prophets, Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." It's not says Jeremiah, it says the Lord. That Jeremiah is writing what God has said to the people. And so, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." That they've been coming out of this rebellious nature and God's disciplined them. And now he wants them to know, listen, my desire is not to just continue to discipline you. It's to give you a hope and a future. I have good plans for you. And he was using Jeremiah to share this. That God, he's going to speak through some friends, coworkers, family, a pastor. He's going to speak through other people. And as he speaks to other people, he's going to share some wise things. He's going to share some corrective things. He's going to share some encouraging things. But he is going to speak through others. When I was 17 years old, I walked into our youth group on a Wednesday night, and I was just active, very regular in my youth ministry growing up. And I walked in there, and shortly into the day, the person that led our youth ministry, she just singled me out, and she said, "Hey guys, I don't know if you know, but one day Will's going to be in ministry." I was looking at her and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I even kind of felt like, couldn't you have tried to have that conversation with me privately before you had this conversation publicly? But that's what she said. And then she moved on quickly. I didn't move on so quickly. I didn't know what she was talking about. And I didn't have any interest in being involved in ministry. And she said this. And this part right here, God speaks through others. She said this. And let me tell you her name. Voice. That was her name. And Voice was part of God's voice speaking to me, preparing me for what God was calling me to. And I couldn't see it in that moment. It wasn't until 2 years later that I really began to understand and hear for myself that God wanted me to do ministry with my life. But she spoke that and said that. And I've never forgotten that. That God, he does, he speaks through others. But it's not the only thing. So he speaks through his word. He speaks through others. Let's look and see what else God speaks through. That God speaks through prayer. He speaks through prayer. But in order for God to speak through prayer, we have to have a prayer pace that allows us to listen and not just talk. That we have to slow down our lives enough that when we pray, we make part of our prayer time a listening time and not just a delivery time from us, but a receiving time as well. So Jeremiah continues to record what God is saying. In Jeremiah 29, let's go to verse 12. It says, "In those days when you pray, I will listen." So this is God. He's saying this. When you pray, God's saying, "I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." Oh, that's so important to identify, see this word wholeheartedly. Because God doesn't say, "If you seek me half-heartedly, you will find me." He didn't say that. It might happen, but what he does say is, if you seek me wholeheartedly, that's when I know that you will find me. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Verse 14, I will be found by you, says the Lord. That I'll be found by you. But you must look for me wholeheartedly. And let's look at one last thing that God speaks through. And that is God speaks through circumstances. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through circumstances that sometimes could be good circumstances. He speaks through circumstances that might not be very welcome circumstances in our life. But God speaks through circumstances. We have several examples of this in our Bible, and we're just going to look at one of them in the book of Mark, chapter 4. And in chapter 4, it's still right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, of freshly recruiting disciples, and then they're following him, but they really haven't quite come to understand and grasp that he is the Son of God. And so Jesus is on a boat with his disciples. And he's a little exhausted, so he's down underneath and he is sleeping. And this huge storm comes along. And this storm is so big that the disciples are literally scared for their lives, thinking this ship is going to fall apart and we are going to drown out here. And there's these winds and waves that are just stirring everything up. And so we'll pick this up, verse 39. It says, when Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and waves obey him. God does. He speaks through circumstances. And if I had time, I would tell you the circumstances through which God spoke to me to let me know that he had a calling in my life for me to be in ministry. It was not a calling that I wanted. It was not one I sought out. It was one that I dreaded. But I am so grateful now that that is what God did. That I literally put God to the test and he had to jump through some hoops, these circumstances, and he did it. And I was super surprised and disappointed at the same time because I put him to the test and I wanted him to get a big fat F. And he got an A plus and I was not happy. But I'm grateful now. Well, let me quickly share with you four ways to increase your ability to hear God. That if you want to increase that ability for you to be able to hear from God, these are them, rapid fire. Be still. Be still. That stop doing other things and don't just try to multitask when you spend time with God, but single task, spending time with God. Be still. Be quiet. That we must be quiet. That we're going to tune out everything else and tune out the chatter. And we're not going to make it about us even speaking to God. We want to listen, so we're going to be quiet. Third one, be focused. Be focused. Be intentional that you're going, this is my time that I want to be able to hear from God. We're not talking hours at a time. But take a few minutes and carve these out. Protect them. Make them sacred. Be focused. The last one is be prepared. Be prepared. Because God is speaking and he's going to be speaking. And we need to be prepared for it. If you're not prepared, it doesn't mean he's not going to speak to you. He will. But the best way for you to increase your ability to hear from God is these things. That we would come along, we would be still. We would be quiet, we would be focused. And that we would be prepared. Listen, our band's going to come out, and we're going to finish the service with a song about God speaking, because God is speaking, and he is speaking to us. And as God speaks, we want to be able to hear him. I heard a pastor, his name's Chris Hodges. I heard a pastor say this, that if you want to hear from God, that what you should do is that you should just start worshiping him. Because God is attracted to worship. That God will come near to where he is being worshiped. And so let's worship him so we can hear from him. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you are the one that we desperately need to hear from. We might not be in desperate times, but we desperately need to hear from you. God, so that we can know the purpose for which you've called us to be here. So that we can know how we can best live out this life that you have gifted us with. God, so that we don't get distracted by busyness and these competing voices. But we would be ones that we would hear from you. God, thank you for being a God who speaks. And God, if that place for us to start is to turn to your word, because that's the place that we know you've already spoken, that we would turn there. But God, may we hear from you, and may we heed what it is you have to say. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.